Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us in studio right now, former Rangers goaltender, Stanley Cup champion, Mike Richter. A celebration of the 94 team with Mike, Adam Graves, Mark Messier, and Brian Leetch is happening Sunday, June 30th at 2 p.m. at iPlay America in Freehold, New Jersey. All those guys will be taking part in a special Q&A and special packages to allow fans to get access to photo ops. You can go to iPlayAmerica.com for tickets. That's iPlayAmerica.com. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Great, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
It's great to see you, and it's great to celebrate this. I can't believe it's been 25 years, and I can't believe what you did to me as a fan, by the way, because I was just telling the story about how the first two series in that playoff run that you had, you guys just blistered the Capitals and the Islanders, and it was like, all right, here we go. This is our year, finally. And then, of course, the Devils got in your way, and Stevens and Danico and those meatheads over there. So you had to deal with those guys. But you really, the thing that that I often reflect back on are the two game fives against the Devils and against the Canucks in Madison Square Garden. And just, I can't imagine what that must have felt like after those games were over, realizing what you guys had had happen to you.
Well, I think, look, there's always great stories. We were just talking before we were on the air about the Stanley Cup played last night, and the ups and downs. You see O'Reilly being interviewed and just talks about, you know, the adversity you face. You can't go 2 or 3 months in postseason hockey without basically getting your ass handed to you once in a while, right? You're going to lose. You're going to have trouble. And I think one of the things that really happened, I think you see with Binnington, the goalie, and the St. Louis Blues, they seem to respond to adversity. They were in last place in January, to first place overall, but they came back every time they lost the game, they come back stronger. And that's just part of the deal. You have to have resiliency. And that's where we felt we had a bit of an advantage in New York because we had veterans that had been through the wars.
You know, he Binnington, you talked about him. So he twice he gave up, you know, he gave up 5 goals in one game. And then another game he got pulled where they gave up, I think, 7 goals or something like that. And I'm just trying to think, like, from a goalie's perspective, kind of like I would think a quarterback and also maybe even a closer like a Mariano Rivera.
Absolutely.
Where there are going to be games where you're just not on.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden – there are the games where you are on, and you know when your teammate says, I guarantee we're going to win game six, and he puts all the pressure not only on himself, but he definitely puts it squarely on your shoulders. I don't think people really understand how truly great that game was for you over in Jersey and what that must have been like.
Well, look, these are the Jersey at that time, and you're right, we breezed through the first two rounds, but there's always kind of skeletons in the closet, right? We've had to play the Islanders, who had been – we had won one time that year, the last game we played them.
Yep.
We are breezing through the season, but the Islanders had our number, and then we beat them once, like, it, you know, a 5-4 game, sloppy game at the end. Then we go into the aisle. You don't know what's going to happen. We end up beating them in four. It was a war, but we took them in four. And if you look at our record going into that Jersey series, we were, you know, 8-1. It looked like we were unstoppable, but every game's a war. Every shift is a battle. And so you're going to hit adversity. And what separated us from New Jersey that year was one or two games, right? I mean, we only had a few more points than them to win the President's Trophy. So that was an excellent – they were second-best team by record in the league. And so – and they were veterans too. So we went back and forth, and you have to walk away from a game you lost saying, that's a really good team over there. Sometimes they're going to win. And always, if you feel like you can just play your own game and win, you're fine.
When you wake up the morning of game six, I got the post in the Daily News in front of me.
Oh, cool.
And and your boy Mark Messier happens to be on the cover. I guarantee we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
What did you guys – did you ever talk about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The first thing we did was laugh. I mean, you know, Mark's like, oh, boy, I stepped in it now. And I'm sure you've heard the stories, right?
Yes.
And we knew where he's coming from. You get your confidence rocked in a situation like that. And he was just saying, look, I know this team's got the capacity to do it. I know we can beat them. We just did 2 games ago. And yeah, our backs up against the wall. We've been here before. We'll be fine. And just like you saw, you know, in this season with the St. Louis, there's going to be times where you're kind of questioning yourself and everything else. If you go back to doing what makes you successful, you should be okay. And that's That's all Mark was doing. And I think we really did understand it. But, I mean, you had to see it. We're walking into the locker room, and guys hadn't seen it. And you, Neil Smith, the GM, and even the coach, you know, Keenan's cracking a smile. You know, it's like, oh, geez, here we go. And then you scrape it all off and just go out and play. So, you know, that you live in a little bit of a bubble. You kind of put your blinders on to the media as much as possible. But it's New York. It's an elimination game.
Mark had been here for 3 years, and so he understood what the media was. Yeah. But one of the reasons why he was brought here was for that specific reason.
100%. You know, I think we were tiptoeing around a little bit. Hey, we're a good team. We can be successful. He's like, hey, you got to own this thing. We put up a picture of the Stanley Cup from training camp in a locker room. Keenan was very big on that, just saying, hey, if you think you can win this thing, own it. Don't sit there and sneak around. You got to say you're good enough to do it. And Mark, you know, embraced that 54-year history and said, yeah, there's a lot of upside here. And all the veterans seemed to carry the younger guys along. And it was for Leachy and Graves and myself and Zuby. They were unbelievable guys to learn from because they had been through these wars multiple times. And so it took a personality like that to come to New York and say, yeah, we're going to do this. And he did.
We're talking to former Rangers goalie, Stanley Cup champion Mike Richter in studio on Boomer and Geo on the Fan CBS Sports Network. 25-year anniversary of the 94 Cup. Now, when we talk about players coming to New York in free agency, with whatever sport, baseball, basketball, hockey, we always say, you know, it was a trepidation because the New York media and the fan and the pressure. But if you win... Yeah. You are a legend forever. You have lived that. You have lived that now for a couple of decades. What is it like living that, being that legend who brought a championship to this city?
It's the difference between getting the finger and a high five 25 years later.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to that.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, people bleed their sports. You're representing New York. There's never a bad place to win a championship. I don't care where you are. You pick the smallest city in North America. It's a great thing to do is win, but there's not a better place to win it in New York. I mean, this is the place. And that year, we kind of, you know, it's before the media that they have now, but we had an old VHS tape of the Mets victory parade. It kind of superimposed pictures and images of the Rangers and just helped the guys visualize what this is going to look like. And it gave you goosebumps. You can't help but say, my God, what would it be like? And Leachy and I used to live in the Upper West Side and walk around. Can you imagine winning here? You know, for the excitement that's in the locker room, that's one thing. But that's what you could never envision it. When we left Madison Square Garden for that parade, I mean, the whole bus went quiet. Hmm. There's like four buses going down there. I had no clue it was going to be that big. And just, it was a roar of a crowd and people standing at attention. The place bleeds with you, you know? Yeah. And there's not more passionate fans. And I think people do come here with trepidation. They're like, big, scary city. The people are unbelievable. They got huge hearts, but they expect greatness and they demand that. And that's cool to be able to do.
Well, it's the one thing that Mark Messier did not shy away from. There's no question about that because he had already won the Cups and one of the greatest teams that the league had ever seen. So he had that experience. So, you know, Mike Keenan comes in late in the 93 season. Mm-hmm. And what does he see in front of him? What do you think that he thought he had to do in order to get you guys to where you ended up?
It was the exact right guy at the right time. Okay, we had a really talented team that had won the President's Trophy, you know, the league championship
year before,
2 years ago, then missed out on the playoffs. And so you're not fulfilling your potential. And it's like enough of the coddling. We're going to get, you know, a general in here and you're either going to sink or swim. And that's exactly, you know, what Keenan was. He had a reputation coming in. He didn't create this persona in New York. He was ugly coming in. Mm-hmm. We knew it. And we were kind of embraced it. We said, you better have enough motivation to demand that of yourself and not be scared of someone else demanding it. You better have more demand on your own than someone from outside. So Keenan's like, yeah, good, make us hard. Our practices were so intense and so hard and the demand so high that games became a little bit easier, I have to say. And so we just felt like the toughest opponent we're going to have is our own self. You know, Keenan would come in there and you'd walk away from a game and say, hey, you know, I stopped 30 shots. He's like, what were you doing on that second goal? That was BS.
My man.
You know?
That's what I'm talking about.
And he would make you better. You'd want to kill him, but he'd make you better. And so, you know, walking away, guys wanted to poke his eyes out, but he delivered a championship. And he's friends to this day. I respect the hell out of him for that.
It's amazing, though. He coached the later part of the 93 season and then all of the 93-94 season. And then he's gone.
He's gone. That was crazy.
That was the craziest thing of all time. Honestly, you ever figure out what happened there?
It was whipping. No, I'm still 25 years later. I'm still scratching my head. I wake up and go, I just thought it would take us so long as it did to learn how to win as an organization. And we did. You know, you figure that out. You got the formula. It's not secret. You have to work your rear end off. You have to, you know, you have to have some luck. You have to stay healthy as a group. You have to have the right components and the right character. And we did. And when you think after that year went, Adam Graves got married and it was probably 10 days later after the Cup. He had, you know, he didn't know we were going to go that long. And he's like, oh my God, we went from one thing to another. By the time we gathered in Toronto for his wedding service, Keenum was already gone. You know, he was negotiating his release then, but, and part of that deal was like three or four players leaving. And you say, oh, you know, Doug Lindster didn't play a lot of minutes. He was a huge part of our locker room. Jay, these guys were, every single guy was missed if they left. And the new guys coming in were great guys, but it was a different feel. Combine that with a lockout. I'm giving you a lot of excuses,
well, yeah,
but I'm just saying, there's
well,
a lot of change that occurred. I just thought we were going to figure it out and then go for a run of like, you know, the Islanders did 4 years in a row and here we go. We got a dynasty. And you know, it does make you think, looking back, 2.5 decades later, how lucky you are, how fortunate you are, because you got to almost catch lightning in a bottle. I mean, when you look at St. Louis and Boston, are those two teams going to be in the finals next year? There's so much parity in the league. You don't know who's injured, who's traded, who has a contract dispute. It's hard to repeat. You just don't see it in all sports now, really.
So how do you feel about looking back on that era? Because Boomer was saying before, this is a group that should have won more.
I mean, thought like you guys were like the LA's Mets.
Yeah.
Like,
and you feel the same way.
I 100% do. We had a great young core and unbelievable veterans. And Mess had always talked about how Edmonton did it. They would bring in a young Adam Graves, or they would bring in somebody like a Kenny Lintzman from outside. Mm. And he had a role to play. He was a puzzle piece. He'd come there and do it. And they'd have enough refresh to bring a guy in without getting stale, but not too much change where it rocked the boat too much. And that's a real bounce. I mean, it really seems Slats and those guys had it down to a science up there. And it was a little bit of a different era. There was less free agency and all that. Now it's very difficult to keep something going.
Well, they made some trades that, you know, when you look back on those trades, you say, okay, for 1 year, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
But for the long term with Dougie Waite and Tony Amonte.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so I'm thinking that these are your guys, right?
For
they were your age.
Yep.
You know, Dougie Waite,
tremendous
obviously,
players.
American and captain. And
you knew it at
else.
The time. You didn't know how great they were going to be. But for a little while there, before we won the Cup, you look around the league and you go, my God, you know, Neil Smith was saying, we're the best farm team for the rest of the league. We would draft these guys, develop them, and then trade him at a young age and get some veteran who was on his last legs. Mm. That guy's retired, and you're watching Waite, you know, win the scoring championship.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And becoming the American captain in the Olympics and all that stuff,
and
right?
Tremendous guy, too. So someone you want in the locker room.
And so, look, you're an American goaltender.
Yeah.
You're thinking, there goes this guy, and there goes Tony Amonte.
Yeah, and you
else.
Have to make a deal with the devil at some point. You give away good players to get good players.
Which I thought, I at the end of the day, all those players that they traded for made an impact on this team. There was no question
No question about it. They did, and they made an impact on the teams they went to. They had long struggles.
How crazy was Esa Tikkanen, really?
He's one of the funniest human beings I've ever met. I mean, you know, he speaks about four languages, but all at once. So you have no idea what the man's saying. And you know, there's a great, he stood up in the locker room as a rookie, apparently, in Edmonton and said, we're running around like a Chinese fireplace. And everybody's just kind of looking at it, you know, going, just Teak, that's enough.
All right,
but he was a guy that had total confidence, immense skill. I mean, it was easy to dismiss him as a crazy man, and he was, but he was so talented. He was a guy who stood up in the locker room and said, you know, I'll take care of
Claude
Lemieux.
He was physical.
And you couldn't hurt him.
Right.
You couldn't catch him on the skates. And he could score. The guy was really talented.
So what was it like seeing Pavel Bure come down on a penalty shot?
And, you know, crazy enough, there's a lot of pressure on him. And he had scored in that series a number of times. And the guy can shoot. He can stick handle. I mean, he's got speed that is kind of unmatched in the world at that moment. And he had it all going. But he was home in Vancouver. He was at the end of a shift. You know, that's a cool moment in all games. You know, you have these things, certain plays within a team game and in the context of a whole series can change things. You weren't thinking that at the time, but you know it's a big moment. And I think there's more pressure on Pav than there was on me. You know, I mean, at hometown, they expect him to score every time he touches a puck. And I was able to match his speed and come back and get him on that moment, you know. So I don't know how many goals he scored in that series. I should look it up.
Yeah, but that was an awesome
moment.
A lot. And that could have been a game or a series-changing moment, too,
exactly.
Really. You know, the interesting thing about him is that we ended up acquiring him.
Yeah.
And kind of like Kevin Durant's laying in the hospital bed.
We
knew he had a bad knee when we got him. Yep. And when we got him, he was unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, he may have been the greatest initial trade that we ever made.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he never panned out.
Like Mess said, he's a guy that would pay money. You know, he touched the puck and people get out of the seats. Something's going to happen. When he came over here, I mean, the guy was just, he would train so hard. He had a little parachute that he'd have on his back. And he'd skate on the ice for the resistance that it would give him. And, you know, of course, you'd take it off in the game. And you'd know it. You'd say, okay, watch him. He gets breakaways. He'd get three a game anyway. You couldn't match his speed.
Who was better, him or Kovalev?
Oh, that's tough to say. I mean, Kovey had a long career and just was such a game breaker. I mean, there's quiet guys like that. I mean, Kovey was still so young when we played in that Devils series. You go, okay, what do you do if you're the Devils? Watch Leachy at the point. He rules the power play, and he's just playing at a supreme level. Mess, of course. Okay, Graves is tough in front. Like, you start going down, you go, we're running out of guys to shadow here. Mm-hmm. And then you have a Kovey who comes up and scores in that game six. Mm-hmm. He just could turn a game. He's kind of a secret weapon where you're not thinking about him. All of a sudden, he goes through four guys and scores. So as a rookie, he had that capacity. And as he got older in his career, he was – I used to stay after with him. And you couldn't tire the guy out. He's just a gifted athlete. And just his moves left to right were unbelievable. So I always felt like – there's no one else in the league that can have a breakaway that's going to be better than him. So I got to play against him every day after
right.
practice.
So who was what was it like with Van Breesbroek when he was here? Were you guys close?
Yeah, Beezer was amazing to me. What I didn't realize coming in, as you never do, you know, there's Bob Froese was there, a veteran who had come off great seasons in Philly, and Beezer had won the Vezina in what I think 84, 85. He's a supremely talented player, and New York was his home, and he was really the guy here. And I came in, I'm like, isn't this great? We got three goalies. We can all share the net. And he's like, get out of here.
Right.
But he was really good to me. He supported me. That 1 year, we rotated through 76 games, if you can imagine. Your game, my game. Your game, my game. And he never said boo. He was really good about it. He was really supportive. And to this day, we're still friends. So I think it was a harder situation, of course, than I realized at the time. Because I was a rookie coming in, going, wow, we'll share the net. And he's like, no, this is not fun. And, eventually one of us is going to be traded. And I was, I remember thanking Neil Smith after we won the Cup for keeping me because Beezer was a great goalie.
Well, he was traded because eventually he was going to go to the
expansion draft. Exactly. And so, I mean, and you go through these rhythms and it changes the courses of people's lives and organizations. You have to make those choices.
Another minute with Mike Richter on the Fan CBS Sports Network. How invested are you in the team right now and paying attention to the game and also the track that the organization is on? Where do you, what are your feelings on that?
I actually love the team. I think it's a super exciting team. You knew that they were going to take a step back in terms of their ability to compete at the highest level by going with the youth movement, but they have the right coaching staff. These guys are teachers, they're communicators, they're amazing. I played with Brownie, the defense coach, for years in the Olympic team. He played at BC. Great human beings, and I think the players respect the coaches. These guys know how to communicate particularly well, and they're young and they're learning. But in this day and age, the young guys come in here so sophisticated. I mean, look at the impact that Lundqvist had when he came here. They're like, we'll get him in a few games. Next thing you know, he's a starting goalie and he's taken over as one of the best.
One of the great all-time draft picks for the Rangers, by the way.
Ridiculous. I mean, the fact that, what was it, sixth round?
Yes.
Six other teams missed that thing?
It's amazing. But now he is on the other end of it, like Van Beesbroek was when you came in. And now they have two Russian goalies.
Exactly. And they're both great. And
so you have a Swedish goalie, you got two Russian goalies, you got an American coach, you got all sorts of different vibes going on and all that other stuff. I'm going to ask you a tough question. If you are Henrik Lundqvist and the team comes to you and says, hey, we can trade you to a potentially cup-winning team at the trading deadline, do you accept that trade?
I'll squeeze out of that by saying that, only Henrik can make that, I think, because he has no trade. But
right.
I think it's something you have to consider in the sense that if it was at the end of this year where they're clearly not going to make the playoffs and they say we're getting toward the trading deadline.
Yeah.
Henrik is that good that he still has game left in him and he can change the course of any team. He's that good, and I still think they can be contenders because of him here. And there's two young goalies. I mean, JD will know what to do with them. The coaching staff here has a great handle on this. You can't have enough strength at that position. If you need to deal one later on, you do. But think how much these young guys are going to learn from the professionals. There's nobody.
Well, I think Gorgiev has already done that.
I think he has. He's amazing.
What do you think about him, by the way?
I think he's fantastic. And really? The guys seem to love him, and he just keeps getting better. He goes about playing his position, in a professional manner. But he's got. You couldn't ask for a better mentor than this guy. And as I had in Johnny, like, he knows how to prepare for a game. This young guy's saying, I obviously am good enough to be able to play in this league, but can I be great? And then you have a guy that's oozing greatness in front of him. It'll be determined on how the team's going. If they have a shot of winning, you better keep that guy because he can win you a cup. If they don't, maybe they move one goalie, maybe they move two. It depends what they need. But I think you keep those options open. JD's come here. I think he's going to put his mark on this organization. He's a professional. He knows what he's doing. And what people have to understand is, look at Toronto. They went from being nothing to a really tough, tough team that you don't want to meet in the playoffs in a matter of maybe 2 years. This team can turn it pretty quickly, not to put crazy pressure on them, but they've got talent, and they've been doing a great job drafting.
A celebration of the 94 Cup Rangers team with Mike Richter, Adam Graves, Mark Messier, and Brian Leetch. All the guys happening Sunday, June 30th at 2 p.m. at iPlay America in Freehold, New Jersey. You can purchase tickets at iPlayAmerica.com. Mike, it was a pleasure having you here. And awesome. I know a lot of people are going to be buying tickets to hang out with you guys and ask some questions on the 30th.
Four old guys telling you how the world works.
Man, you guys got the cup. They got, you know, Messier's got more than just one.
Oh, my God.
But having one in New York probably is about as important a championship as there ever was.
Well, thanks so much, guys. Always fun to be here. Appreciate
thanks, Mike. Always
me.
Great to see you, man.
Mike Richter on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.